And once again, apparently, mainly American Conifer Society members come here to view the collection, to collect cyanwood regularly. And again, I'm sending cyanwood out from here regularly. And so we have a very strong presence of members in the state and close friends within that.
You have quite an incredible national network of colleagues, don't you?
Yes. Former students, members of these plant societies, and I guess I have counterparts at all of the Midwestern states. Most of them now retired, but I know some of the younger people pretty well too.
Now, what about Europe and Asia? Do you have colleagues over there that you're in touch with?
To some extent in Europe, through former students and through members of really the American Conifer Society. I can't say that I have very important contacts in Asia.
Do you still lecture and do you give addresses at conventions, or are you invited to present?
I did an enormous amount of that. But I haven't gone digital. And I've sort of used that as my excuse to be able to say no when asked to speak. Mm-hmm. I will speak on occasion locally, either with my slide projector or with no slides at all. And so I will address the International Lilac Society when they're here in May. Some of the garden clubs who have been so generous to the endowment, I will say yes to them. This is my true retirement now.
No more organizing your slides.
And travel to, unlike my wife, who is in North Carolina right now giving a lecture.
Ed, what journals, how do you stay current in your field now? Do you make a major effort to do that, a moderate effort?
Well, I've always made a big effort to stay current. And so I subscribe to a number of publications, mainly now more popular publications. But the American Horticulture Society has a publication, The American Horticulturists. I'm often asked to contribute. Probably this next issue may have something that I know it will. I've been asked to comment on to an author on arborvitae. I have always subscribed to the Royal Horticultural Society publication, The Garden, which is a very special publication. I receive publications from other arboreta regularly. The publications of the American Conifer Society, the Magnolia Society, are two that and the International Lilac Society are publications that I receive as members, part of my membership. And I've accumulated back issues all these years, and maybe my successor will be interested in them. Mm-hmm. I have given my personal library to Ulbrich.
Oh.
And so far it is in the director of horticulture's office, Jeff Epping, former student.
Is there any place in America that doesn't have a former Hasselkus student?
Well, not too many places, which is a great pleasure to me.
Yes, yeah. So I suppose when you travel, if you go out to the Bay Area or anywhere, you might very well have a former student working in some related field.
Yes. Well, I have gone to meetings in Portland, Oregon, quite often, mainly because I've been invited as a speaker. And one of the last times I was out there, there's also the Far West Show. It's a convention, and where I was a speaker. And my former students out in the Pacific Northwest organized a party for me.
Oh.
And so it was a pleasure to see some of them that I rarely see and reestablish contact in that way.
Ed, what is the name of that garden up in Victoria on Vancouver Island?
You know how this elderly person doesn't. I've referred to it in a not nice way in being somewhat of a Polish garden, a little bit too much color-wise. But I must admit, I loved it.
We were there a few years ago, and I thought it was spectacular. I enjoyed it.
It is.
But I couldn't remember the name.
Well, now I'm having trouble remembering it, too. But it, you know, was built in a former quarry. But it is the most colorful garden I think I've ever seen.
Really?
Do you want to know my favorite gardens?
Yes.
In this country, it's Chanticleer.
In Philadelphia?
In the Philadelphia area. Former student Bill Thomas is the director there. It is just an incredible garden. And we've been there with the Wisconsin Hardy Plant Society, and they've all loved it. The group is going back there this June. I hope to be part of the group again. I, of course, love English gardens. And I've gone back over and over and over and over. And Sissinghurst is my favorite garden in the world.
Where is that?
This is in Kent, in England. And it is a garden that is a garden of rooms. There is a tower that you can go up into and overlook the entire garden, and there you can see that hedges, walls, buildings separate these individual gardens. And so one is a white garden, one is a rose inspired garden. Each one has a special theme, and you sort of proceed from one to the other. But being able to get a bird's eye view of the entire garden is special.
When did you first encounter that?
It wasn't when I was stationed in England, but it was probably one of the first trips that Betty and I took to England after we were married. And I've been there at least three or four times since.
Other gardens in England? that you're interested in?
Well, I can't say that. I'm working on my life list of gardens in England. There are a few that I still haven't gotten to.
Oh.
But one that we went to on a Hardy Plant Society trip called York Gate. It's a small garden, but so intensely developed, I will never forget it. And right next door to it is a private garden that I would love to have visited. Just looking over the stone wall, that wonderful garden.
Elsewhere in Europe? The gardens of Versailles, for instance?
Well, of course, Versailles is absolutely wonderful. Well, I may have mentioned along the line that I was the host for a Friends of the Arboretum trip to France.
Yeah, you mentioned it off record last time.
Oh, all right. I was asked by the Friends of the Arboretum to do two different trips, to be the host on two different trips. One was France, and the other was New Zealand. Two of my favorite places in the world. And so in France, we went to Giverny, which was, I think, my third visit there at the time, a very memorable visit. Versailles, and I remember when we were in Paris with the group, one couple in the group said to me, "Ed, I don't think we've visited enough gardens." So I said, we had a free day, or I think two free, a free day coming up in Paris where people could do whatever they wanted to. I said, "Tomorrow I will go with you and we will visit gardens all day." They appreciated that so much, and as a result, were one of the major contributors to the Longenecker Endowment.
Wonderful. Where did you take them? Just in the city?
One garden after another in Paris.
Luxembourg Gardens?
Luxembourg Gardens is one of them, that's right. And so that was a wonderful trip. And Betty still says that was her favorite trip of all.
Really?
And she doesn't like garden trips all that much.
What time of the year did you go?
That was a spring trip. I don't remember anymore the exact month. The trip to New Zealand was billed as Gardens and Glaciers. So on that trip, we did some wonderful natural areas as well as gardens. And as I remember, that was in November.
Because that's the start of their spring?
Yes. And so when we arrived, it was we started, I guess, in the South Island, and it was rhododendrons and azaleas. And by the time we left from the North Island, it was roses. And so I could go back to New Zealand anytime.
Really?
The gardens are wonderful. There isn't that great press of people. A very civilized land, I would say. And so,
are the gardens English in nature?
Quite English in nature, yes. And so, we went that time to a lot of private gardens, which were fantastic. And our tour leader was a native New Zealander, now of California.
Hmm. Would you lead a tour anymore?
Probably not. Although the trips we'd take to the Wisconsin Hardy Plant Society trips we take, I always have a group of followers with me. And so I can't escape it.
Yeah.
But the president of the Wisconsin Hardy Plant Society is Frank Greer. He's a pediatrician. He's a professor in the medical school. He's a neighbor, and he's my best friend. Frank organizes all of the trips to England with Victoria, who is a travel agent in London. Frank and Victoria are very close by now. So we've been doing these for every other year for, I think it's now 16 years.
Oh.
And for many years, we had the same bus driver, the same tour director once we got there, and often the same group of travelers.
Oh, how nice.
And so...
assuming they're congenial.
They are, absolutely. Now, to me, people who love plants are nice people. I have always found that to be the case. And so I guess my entire career has been bringing plants and people together. And I've loved it. Going back to Miss Honeyacre, yes. Yes.
Because that's what she did.
She did indeed. Yes.
And one thing that we had planned to address, and you certainly have a lot in the course of the interview, observations about Professor Longenecker. And I would just ask you if there are any additional observations about him or comments that you would like to make.
Well, Bill Longenecker's influence on my career has been profound. When I think back about Bill Longenecker in the campus scene, he not only was the main focus of the landscape architecture portion of the horticulture department, he had responsibilities and a love for the arboretum. He also did the landscape planting plan for every new building on the campus. And so he was able to specify plants that he could use in his teaching. And later on, they were there for my benefit. So when I think of the first year Betty and I were married, we lived at Eagle Heights.
Oh.
And of course, that building, 203J Eagle Heights, had been landscaped by Bill Longenecker. And I think of the plantings around that building. So he did all of Eagle Heights. He did everything on campus. Later on, I remember when Van Vleck Hall was built, a landscape architect was hired from outside. I think that was the first time. And this was a landscape architect by the name of Vance Dean, who I was very interested to see what he would do, what he did there. And it was very different from what Bill Longenecker would have done. And then the person, the contractor who got the contract to do the installation was one of Bill Longenecker's former students, Bud Cumling from Janesville. And I remember there were some unusual and special plants. And at that time, Bud Cumling decided to donate a large specimen of a scholar tree, the genus Sephora, just out of his goodwill, be planted on the campus. It's near North Hall. It's still there. It's a very unusual tree. You rarely see it in Wisconsin. And
is it, would you see it walking down Bascom Hill?
If you look to the left as you went down that side of Bascom Hill. As far as I know, it's still there. Hope it is. And so that was the beginning of this sort of transition of when a building was built, bringing in an outside person.
I don't remember much growth around Van Vleck.
Well, it was jammed in between Burge Hall and the building that was bombed, Sterling Hall. Yeah. So Bill Longenecker had a big impact on the environment of the campus, really. We've talked a lot about his impact on the Arboretum, especially on the Longenecker Horticultural Gardens. I was present at the dedication of the Longenecker Horticultural Gardens, at which Bill Longenecker spoke.
Oh, did he?
And I have a slide, of course I took slides all those years, of him on the podium speaking that day. I have a picture of the crowd assembled that day in the shrub garden. Sarah Longenecker is sitting on the ground holding a bouquet of lilacs that had been presented to her. I knew almost everyone else who was in that scene. Members of the Arboretum Committee. I can picture Bob Muckenhorn from the Soils Department, who I think may have even been a classmate of Bill Longenecker's in college. Nancy and Howard Mead are in that picture, among the youngest people, and I've known both of them all these years, and of course some of my fellow students, and so but it was shortly after that I noticed that Bill Longenecker blinked his eyes a lot, and then it turned out he was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, a fatal disease.
Oh.
That the next thing that happened was that he had to wear a collar around his neck to hold his head up.
Is that a deterioration? Does that affect your muscles?
Yes, and there was no cure. And so, of course, the next thing, he had speaking problems and breathing problems. And so it was very sad to see him suffer like that. And I visited him in the hospital a number of times. In any case, getting back to my friend Frank Greer, the pediatrician, his dog had myasthenia gravis. This is in much more recent years. Frank diagnosed it in his dog and cured it with the drugs. So if Bill Longenecker had just lived 20 years later, all would have been well.
What was he like?
Bill?
Yes.
Just a very genial, pleasant person. But back to my student days, one of the things he had us do was watercolor painting. I was no good at it. Bill Longenecker, that was one of his things that he enjoyed doing. And so we have several of his watercolors here in the visitor center at the Arboretum. I didn't have one of his watercolors. George Ziegler, my colleague in Extension, also one of Bill Longenecker's former students, told me that he had two of them. George insisted that I have one of them.
Oh, wonderful.
Which we have in our home. And so I look at that often and think of Bill Longenecker trying to get us interested in watercolor painting.
Now, these paintings are of plants, trees,
well,
flowers?
Typically they are, they're definitely natural scenes. So the one I have, I visualize that it is Picnic Point.
Huh.
And it's a winter scene, but there's a pheasant flying that I've always thought that pheasant is out of scale. But here are red osier dogwoods, and I love it, of course.
Of course.
Now, at a certain point in the horticulture department, we were bringing in new people in the landscape architecture program. One was Irv Zuby, who got his master's under Bill Longenecker's former students, who got his master's degree at Harvard. And I had known him as a student. He was ahead of me, but we were friends. And so when Irv Zuby arrived, we of course rekindled our friendship. We did a lot together. But Irv was a little bit of an agitator. And so he really pushed to get landscape architecture separated from horticulture as its own department. And so it ultimately happened, mainly because of Irv Zuby. It sort of forced Bill Longenecker into a role I don't think he was comfortable with as chair of a new department. He was already ill. He had his hands full doing things he loved. And so I think it was hard on him to have this new role imposed upon him. It meant that he started neglecting the Longenecker Gardens, I think. I think his role of doing landscape plans for campus buildings was passed. And so it was and by then he was no longer on the Arboretum Committee, I'm quite sure. So it may not have been easy on him.
Well, structurally speaking, was that a good thing to separate landscape architecture from horticulture?
I think it was. Because basically, the science-oriented Department of Horticulture never quite understood these design people. And in terms of being a part of the department, of being promoted, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a good thing that it happened. And as to just to reiterate, when that happened, Bill Longenecker gave up his teaching of plants and plant-related things, which I took over. And he continued teaching design courses.
Did this separation happen just a few years before his death?
As I remember, it happened in 1964. And Bill Longenecker died in 1969. So, yes, it was later in his career when he was ill. And so I think it was hard.
What is the status of landscape architecture today? Is it still a thriving department?
It's a department. I can't say that I know anything about it. I don't know too much about my own horticulture department either, having been retired for this long. And so I would not be able to judge.
Is landscape architecture in CALS?
Yes, yes.
It is in CALS.
So, I did not mention another person who is involved with the landscape architectural program. Joe Elfner was the other person teaching in the department in my undergraduate days. Joe, too, had been a student here. And Joe, I know, was involved in the Arboretum. And in fact, I think I remember that Joe Elfner laid out McCaffrey Drive.
Oh, really?
So Joe Elfner, I remember, was a big smoker. And I can remember students, when Joe would come up to their drawing table to critique their work, people would, smoker. and Joe Elfner was not as well loved as Bill Longenecker. You've certainly liked, and I can remember being out with a class and being invited to their home, the whole class, in Nakoma. And so I think Joe probably died prematurely. I would bet it was lung cancer.
Oh.
And not long after his wife died, leaving their high school son in the home without any parents. So I can remember going to Joe's funeral and thinking, this is just, you know, too young to die. I don't remember. I can't tell you how young old he was. But he was a big loss to the department. This was well before Irv Zuby joined the faculty. So I think of Bill Longenecker as this people, this person with so many interests. He loved fishing and hunting, loved the outdoors, watercolors. He polished stones.
Yeah,
did jewelry. Just this such a nice person.
Was he a Wisconsin boy too?
He was, I certainly have known where he was born, but I don't think it was in Wisconsin. But his father was a congregational minister in up in central Wisconsin.
Oh.
And his father wrote a poem, The Victor, which I used to recite.
Really?
The Victor basically was, you can do what you wish you can, something like that. One of these. So he had a very interesting father as well. His parents are buried in the Wauwatosa Cemetery, Milwaukee suburb, where some part of my family is buried. So in my genealogical ramblings, of all things, I found the Longenecker graves.
Small circles.
Yes. So Bill Longenecker had two daughters and a son. I knew them all to some extent. And his granddaughters were our babysitters early on.
Have you stayed in touch with the
children? I still am in touch with George.
He was a student of yours.
Well, I had him in a course, in my plants courses. George has been a professor at West Virginia State University. He is now retired, but he was very instrumental in starting a garden there. And so he's still in retirement, fundraising, working on this garden at the university. So he and his wife, Carol, visited us this summer, stopped by. And I said to George, I said, you know, I have one of your father's watercolors. Well, of course, George took a picture of it. And he took a picture of the ones out here. And so I don't know that he's has that talent, but he certainly is interested in his father's watercolors.
Were the watercolors pretty good? I mean, was he talented?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Now, I know he gave them as wedding gifts to some of his former students. Tom Pinney, who is my classmate, who lives in Sturgeon Bay, has one that they received as a wedding gift.
So your relationship with Longenecker goes from your days as an undergraduate until his death.
Yes. Yes.
And it seems like he was pretty interested in you.
I think he was, actually. Yes. Well, obviously was.
Yeah. Aside from woody plants, was there something else in your bond your mutual bond? Did you share interests, academic, recreational?
Well, I think it was on a personal level, in terms of our families knowing each other. I'm not a hunter, not a particular, I used to be a fisherman, not in most recent years. I didn't have any talent at watercolors. I'm not too fond of polished stones. but we liked each other.
Mm-hmm. And there's never any explaining that.
No,
really.
I guess not. I guess not.
Ready?
Yeah. My association with the University of Wisconsin from a student to faculty member to active emeritus professor has really been my life. I had no idea that I would remain at Wisconsin as a career. I really feel privileged that it has happened that way. The university has obviously been important not only to me, but to my wife, who received 3 degrees and joined the faculty and joins me as emeritus status now. Our connections to the university and to Madison and to the Arboretum are so strong that we would never consider leaving. And to me, every step along the way has been a great privilege. I've enjoyed my retirement as much as the rest of my career. And so right now, I guess I'm committed to hanging on until this young, talented, new curator or horticulturist can take over from me to direct the future of the Longenecker Horticultural Gardens.
A difficult act to follow.
Thank you.
I would just say that this now concludes the oral history interview with the equally distinguished and engaging Ed Hasselkus. Thank you.